Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, people, welcome back to the show. As we promised, we picked up another dear brother, another dear guest, Jim Rosoli. So Jim Rosoli and Miss Monica Schaefer are going to pretty much ramrod the show from here on in. My son-in-law sent me a tape from Paul Harvey, 1965. I thought it would be salient. It's more pertinent now than it was even then. So Jay is going to play the tape. And then Miss Monica and Mr. Jim are going to comment on it, and then Mr. Jim is going to cover the points he wants since he's the guest. And if they bog down, I'll come in with some of the stuff I've got. Go ahead, Jay. Play that clip if you don't mind, brother.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve, do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild, until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
Well, people, I hope you enjoyed that clip. As my son-in-law sent that to me, and as we promised earlier, we have Mr. Jim Rosoli on, and I'm going to turn it over to Miss Monica. She's going to kind of ramrod the show, but first, I want to welcome. Thank you for coming on the show tonight, Mr. Jim. How are you doing?
Glad to be here. Yeah, I'm doing well. Thank you. You too.
Well, I'm glad. Well, you know, I'm so happy to have you back on. You're a great asset. You're a great American, a great patriot. Now that, I'm going to shut up. And Miss Monica, you go ahead and you ramrod it. You and Jim, take it away.
That clip you just played was amazing. That was absolutely just everything. Actually, everything we talked about in the first hour was covered in that clip, and of course, much, much more, but tied it all together. The last thing you were talking about, that boy who was, you know, at the hospital, and they were going to, they told him he's in the wrong body, and so they fled the state so that, that nothing bad would happen, and otherwise, you know, if he, if the father spoke out against this, this, you know, transitioning or tranny stuff, that, that they'd take the child away. This is happening. In Canada, there, there was a case actually here in Vancouver of a father who, I'm not sure if he went to prison or not, but he was being persecuted. He was having to attend a trial, and I think he was threatened with jail time. Maybe he went to jail, I'm not sure, but just because he gave the wrong or used the wrong pronoun. He refused to go along with the daughter who was trying to pretend to be a boy. And this is actually happening here too. And I know it's happening in other places too, that if parents speak out about these things being taught in school, that they are coming to their homes and taking away, I don't know, the children, or they're, you know, doing home searches, invasions, whatnot. I mean, this LGBTQ agenda is very, very powerful, and it's the devil. That clip you just played is perfect. It's communism. This thing about killing incentive. We talked about that too in the first hour. You know, suppressing. Oh, there's a very noisy machine outside. Oh, it's a train. I'm right beside a train track here.
We can still hear you.
Mute my microphone.
That's called live radio.
Okay.
Well, she didn't have
loud.
To mute. But go ahead, Mr. Jim. I have all kinds of stuff, but you're the guest. Okay. Let the audience know what's on your mind tonight, Jim.
Well, I just to follow up on what Monica was saying, in my city here, they raised the LBG alphabet flag at the town hall or city hall, and all the schools will be flying them also. So that's the agenda. I mean, what are you going to do? Right. I mean, they have accepted it, and you can be any sex you want or whatever sex you want to be, and we have to just sit back and watch the whole thing unfold in front of us. And, I mean, nobody complains. I don't have any kids in school, and so I'm really not in a position to complain, you know, because people would say that to me. Well, why are you complaining? You don't have any kids in school. But nobody else is complaining. Nobody cares. All the other people don't seem to care either. You know, they're not saying anything, and I have to just, you know, watch this get worse and worse. And again, the, you know, you got to get to the kids. If you get to the kids and they don't know what sex they are, I mean, we got some big problems here, you know, with these kids. It's horrible, you know.
You know, in the Tennessee legislature, there's been the LGBTQ, all these perverts, these, you know, these freaks. They're actually trying to play the victim, because the Tennessee legislators, the taxpayers of the state of Tennessee, don't want to pay to have little Johnny's penis cut off and have his testicles cut out and have God only knows what done to him, because we've convinced him he's a little girl. You know, that's true. They actually accused the state legislature of being like, you know, hate mongers. They're the hate mongers. And they, you know what? They want to get rid of these sex-specific bathrooms. That's probably old hat. But they want some, you know, some 10th grade football player, you know, 6 feet, 180 pounds, to come in there with some little petite girl and letting it all hang out. And if you object to that, you're supposed to be the hate monger. But you know what? The people that don't speak up against that, that don't speak up against the evil in our society, they're the ones I have the greatest hatred for. And I tell you what, I dropped a lot of napalm and a lot of rattlesnake venom on those sorry dogs on the first hour. I can't stand those people. I despise them, and I don't even want them as part of our movement. I don't try to evangelize with them. We're after the hardcore, the 10% of the hardest of the hardcore. The hell with those people that will not. They won't even stand up and protect their own kids, Jim.
Well, I don't understand. What I don't understand is, why aren't the Christian people that supposedly go to church and believe in God and believe in right values, they're not saying anything. They're just sitting back and letting it happen. I mean, you know, I'm not out there, you know, touting I go to church or do this or do that, but these people do. I mean, they go to church. You see them go to church. The ministers are in there preaching, and they just say nothing about this. And I it just blows me away. It's like there's no Christianity at all. I mean, it doesn't even exist in you know, my city at all.
Yeah.
Horrible.
The Christians are being
persecuted. That's why I stopped going to church. I left the Southern Baptist Church for that. You know what? And I despise what the Southern Baptist Church has become. And you're right. They are not Christians. We covered this on the first hour, but I'm going to say it one more time. They are not Christians. They worship Satan in the form of Israel, and they worship Satan in the form of Jews, of Judaism. They pray. They would sacrifice their firstborn for the Jews in Israel, and they're petrified of going against this LGBT, these perverted freaks, because they know that the Jews are behind that. If they say one word about that, they're scared to death being called a homophobe. But right. Back to you, Jim. Is Monica back yet?
Yeah, Monica.
Yes, I am.
Oh, great. Go ahead, Miss Monica.
I'm next to a train track here visiting friends, and the trains are very rare here, but boy, when it came, it was like it was going to take the house down.
Oh, this is live radio. We can handle that.
But anyway, just something that I heard you say, Jim, about, you know, people questioning you, why do you concern yourself with... Oh, well, after the break here, we'll talk about this.
All right.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches. If any of these this means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and, by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Well, people, right back your way. We got the A-team here. We got Miss Monica. We got Jim Rizzoli. I'm going to throw one thing out, and then Mr. Jim is going to talk about a World War II museum in Colorado, I believe. I was telling these people, dear people during the break, that I'll go with the Missouri thing first. In St. Louis, Missouri, I think it's been about a year ago, the Black Lives Matter crowd, they literally broke down a very strong iron gate to get into a gated community. They were going in this gated community, threatening to burn these wonderful homes down, and they're also marching on the governor's mansion, I've been told, at the same night. And these two lawyers, and Mr. Mark McCloskey, an attorney, and his wife is also an attorney, they came outside they also had no trespassing signs, like you'd need one, on their yard, but yet the Black Lives Matter people were coming on their yards threatening to burn their houses down. But the two lawyers had firearms if they're going to protect their house, to keep their house from being burned down. And, you know, if burning a house in the state of Missouri, if you know, if there's a resident in it, that's a felony. That's like if you burn somebody alive, that's first-degree murder, if no ifs, ands, or buts. Well, guess what, folks? Guess who got prosecuted? Not the Black Lives Matter arsonists, but the two lawyers. What do you think about that, Jim?
Well, yeah, they went to court, and I don't think anything bad happened to them. But I mean, the fact that they were the ones brought to court is the question. And then when they walked out of court, they said, "We'll do it again if we have to." That's what I liked about it. So that's good. You know, they said, "We'll do it again. You know, if we have to defend ourselves, we'll do it again."
Good. Well, you know, I mean, we're in a war. How much more clear can it get? We're in a war when the wrong people got taken to court. It's right. Just, it takes your breath away.
Yeah.
You know, it's that bad. I see, before I go, I'll throw this one thing out there, and I think we need to get Jim to talk about this World War II museum. But, you know, I see where the deep state has said they've declared that January 6th, peaceful protest. Most of the people there were peaceful protesters in Washington, D.C., because they knew, it's like we all know, that the election was stolen. No ifs, ands, or buts. Well, these people, and what the deep state have declared, that everybody there in Washington, D.C., January 6th, they've been declared, and get this term, insurgents, domestic insurgents, terrorists. They said this was a terrorist attack by domestic insurgents on American soil. If you notice, when the United States military goes in any country in the world, be it Iraq, Saudi Arabia, the Philippines, you know, any damn where, if the people that are being invaded, if they just don't want to be invaded by American troops and they resist in any way, well, then they're called insurgents and they're, you know, blown off. They're just reduced to, you know, a rock pile. So I thought that was interesting. And so if you know, y'all, the government has been coming after these people one by one by one. What do you think about that, Monica?
Oh, yeah. What can I say? It's sorry. I was just focused on this that Jim was going to talk about the Holocaust Museum that he was
talking about
there. Do
that then. Go ahead. I'm sorry I got you off your game. I'm just pretty rattled.
Well, you might find it interesting what I have to say here about the. There's a guy in Colorado. Okay, he has a. It's a World War II museum. It's a huge place, 75,000 square foot place, and he has all this paraphernalia in World War II and maybe World War I stuff, I guess too. But then he has a special section on the Holocaust, but the guy's a knucklehead. All right. I mean, he's given the tour and he's talking about, and I put videos up this week about all this, and he's given the tour showing about the Zyklon B and how it was used to gas people and all this nonsense. And he had cans of Zyklon B. He didn't even know how to say, he was calling it Zyklon B. He didn't even know how to call it. And I mean, but the point is this, he's Jewish. Okay, and this is the point I'm trying to make about it. See, a Jewish person can take, quote, Nazi paraphernalia, okay? They can put it in their museum, but a white guy like you or me, like there was a guy, Wisconsin. He had a museum that he opened up, a white guy, like a nationalist, white nationalist guy, and they, you know, he had a problem with it. But a Jewish person can do it. You see, they allow Jewish people in Jewish museums and Holocaust museums to have, you know, the, quote, Nazi signs in it, anything dealing with the Holocaust in it. But you or me, we can't have anything representing it. Because, see, they have a patent on the Holocaust and anything relating to it. They can show, they can sell, they can have a museum, and they can do all these things with, but we can't. And it just shows you how they control that narrative. I mean, controlling history to a degree, you can't even have your own museum to show this type of information. It's just incredible. I mean, I just thought, and then the guy was, like I said, he was a complete knucklehead because he didn't even know what he was talking about, explaining the typical, you know, Zyklon B was used to gas people. They were made into, and he had soap, and here's some bars of soap I had. You know, he got, I don't know where he got these stupid bars of soap, but I mean, it's all lies. But, you know, he's showing these bars of soap. I'm surprised he didn't have a lampshade made of juice skin. I mean, I was waiting to see him pull that one out, but he didn't have that. But, you know, it just was so silly that this guy was so convinced that all this stuff was true. And then he's presenting it and saying, look it, I would like all you, you know, the school children to come up here, come on here, and I'll give you the tour so you can learn the truth about what happened. And I'm saying to myself, oh, my God, this is horrible. I mean, this is like going to Disney World, you know.
I was thinking throwing some pennies at that, to throw pennies at that display. Maybe Miss Monica, maybe you and I, maybe we could get a franchise for one of these Holocaust museums. We could make a fortune. How about that, Miss Monica? Sure. Would you think we get a franchise?
Sure, let's do that. You know, it's what you say. It's even worse. We cannot even have memorial sites for our actual losses without them being vandalized, and then the press just writes it off as, oh, it was just a right wing, you know, Nazi hotspot. And I'm now thinking about this Gutmannshausen that we talked about that a few weeks ago. The place in Germany that was burned and, you know, arsoned, I should say. And it was the one and only memorial to the civilian deaths that happened. So all the civilian deaths in World War II in Germany, the German civilian deaths. And it was the one and only memorial to them, to honor them. And then that was arsoned. And what did the mainstream press say about that? They said it was just a hot spot for extreme radicals, right wing, you know, meeting spot. Like, they did not actually talk truthfully about the fact that it was a memorial site, that they were, you know, memorializing something like 12 million German civilians of World War II. And, you know, though, you're not allowed to mourn that. And then here's these Holocaust museums putting things on display that even the Jewish historians say are lies. And I'm talking about the soap. But, you know, even the Jewish historians now say, no, that was a lie. And they don't tend to talk about it anymore. But here's this museum that puts it in the display and nobody's taking them to task for it, are they?
No. No, they believe it. They believe it's true. And it's just going to get. And then now with the Holocaust education bills, and looks like they're going in all the states. You know, they're working their way through all the states, teaching everybody about the Holo-Hoax, all the kids, so they get educated on it. Like, that's the most important thing to learn about. Nothing else. You know, don't learn about history of the United States, South, North, whatever. Let's learn about the Holocaust. That's the most important thing you have to know about. It's just
that
disgusting.
Is deadly. I hadn't heard about that. How much do you know about that, Jim? I hadn't heard that. My God.
Oh, yeah. They're doing this in all the states. Every state, each state's fallen now. They're all given over to the Holocaust education bill. And they have to teach it in the schools. The kids have to be brought up. And they might call it genocide education, you know. But it's all dealing with the Holocaust. And, again, how the Jews, they're making sure that they're amping up, you know, stepping it all up at the end here. So everybody, all these kids get brainwashed and educated in that topic. I have no problem with them doing that, but why don't you bring in the other side, people that can at least say, wait a second here, let's look at the other side of it. I would love that, but that's not going to happen. They'll never do that, you know.
Jim, we're going to go to a quick break, and we come back. I'd like to make a comment on what you just said. People, hang on, we're going to bring back Jim Rosoli and Miss Monica just after this quick break.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Tropical storm Claudette is pounding parts of the Gulf Coast with heavy rain and strong winds. After pushing towards the central Gulf Coast on Friday evening, Claudette then formed inland over southeastern Louisiana overnight. The storm was packing sustained winds of 45 miles per hour. Officials along the Gulf Coast have issued tropical storm warnings. They say flooding is a major component of the storm. Officials say if there's water on the roadway, don't drive through it. Sad news from the White House today. President Biden tweeted that his dog Champ, the eldest of the Biden's two German shepherds, passed away peacefully at their home. The Biden family saying, quote, "Our family lost our loving companion Champ today. He was our constant, cherished companion during the last 13 years. This is USA Radio News.
My feet hurt. So when Mike Lindell told me about his new My Slipper, I just had to try it. It's more than a bedroom slipper. It's an indoor-outdoor slipper with a three-tier cushioning system that combines two layers of foam with a patented impact gel to keep you from wanting to ever take them off. I love them. They're comfortable, beautifully finished with leather suede, faux fur linings, and an indoor-outdoor sole. And Mike guarantees this will be the most comfortable slipper you'll ever own, or you'll get your money back. 60-day money-back guarantee, one-year warranty, and you can save 40% when you go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener special, use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175. Mention USA Radio when you get to give them the promo code USA, and they will take good care of you. Save 60% on just about anything on the MyPillow website when you use my promo code USA. MyPillow.com, my slippers.
With 45% of the total U.S. population vaccinated, there's growing concerns about the Delta variant as COVID-19 vaccination rates slow down. Hospitalization numbers are increasing again. Celeste Winters is a respiratory therapist at the University of Rochester Medical Center in upstate New York.
I am still putting patients on life support machines because they're non-vaccinated and becoming very ill.
Juneteenth celebrations are underway across America. The day is recognized for the first time as a national holiday. Texas Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee presided over the Juneteenth bill this week in its final House vote.
A little child will ask, what is Juneteenth in 2025? And someone will be able to say, America had a brutal history of slavery, but yet on this day, we were able to be free.
The holiday commemorates the day in 1865 when the last slaves in Texas were told they were freed. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you have to say somebody. Well, it may be the devil.
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, God bless you all. I mean, you've been keeping us on the air with airtime money. You sent Blood River Radio down to Pensacola, Florida to that United States Ship Liberty Memorial reunion down there. I could talk about that for a month and never tell you how great it was and how emotional it was and how really how sad it was that what this country and the American people, specifically the church that has been infiltrated, what they let these Israelis get by with, what they let these Jews get by with. Somebody asked me about that during the break. But anyway, we're going back to Miss Monica. Miss Monica is going to talk about apologies. what a laugh. Go ahead, Miss Monica.
Yeah, let's talk about apologies. It's so common these days that, you know, our governments, our politicians, they always love to do those apologies to some group or other that's been hard done by. And some of these things, they are genuine, and other times, if you understand the history, they're actually apologizing for a false history, like, you know, apologizing to somebody who actually they were criminals but supposedly we did them harm and now we're apologizing. But I want to talk about, did anybody ever apologize to the Germans for what was done to them, not just during the war, but after the war? This is not something that is commonly known, because people don't, the children don't learn it in school, certainly, that more Germans died after the end of the hostilities ceased, or the physical, you know, the bombing and whatnot ceased in 1945. More Germans died after that than before that. That's my understanding of it. Millions of Germans were, for example, expelled. Sorry, excuse me, I've got something in my throat, but millions were expelled from the eastern territories, or, you know, eastern lands. I mean, they were there. Germans had lived in these lands for hundreds of years, like Prussia, East Prussia, Silesia, different regions, and millions. Some people estimate 16 to 20 million were expelled, and 3 million died along the way, either starved or were outright murdered or raped, killed, tortured. And then they arrived in the West, where Germany had been just flattened, bombed. And so the people there are suffering already. You know, so many had lost their homes because of the deliberate bombing campaign on the cities, the deliberate bombing to kill as many women and children as possible. I think it's something like 160 cities in Germany were bombed. So then you have all these waves of German refugees coming from those eastern lands. And some people will call it mid-Germany or East Germany. But anyway, then they're arriving in this bombed out place that people are hungry themselves. I know that my mother talked about how hungry they were after the war. She said during the war they still had plenty. After the war they were so hungry. And then they, you know, they had to welcome the people who came with nothing but the shirts on their back and maybe a little knapsack that they were carrying, or just some basic things. And the Germans, though, they are hard workers, and they somehow did it. And they did rebuild, and they, but, you know, so many died after the war, and whoever has apologized to them? I have never heard of an apology to them from anybody. Have you?
I haven't.
No, I'll tell you something else, and I'm going to go to Jim. You know, that Satanist Eisenhower, you know, there was thousands of tons of food in warehouses there, and Eisenhower would not let that be taken to the German people. And I'll make this brief. He intentionally wanted the German people starved. He renamed the German prisoners of war disarmed enemy combatants so they could do all kinds of atrocities to them. And Monica, I know Monica knows this, and Jim does too. And they said almost every single woman, not only in Germany, but every single white woman, specifically white Christian woman in Eastern Europe, in this Germany, every one of them were raped in front of their of the town square and places like that. Go ahead, Jim. What do you think about all that, brother?
Well, what I don't understand is what happened to all the German property that the Germans owned. How do you lose your property? You know, like, in other words, this was my house where I used to live, and you go back and, oh, it's not your property anymore. I don't understand how Germany was able to take the property away from a German person without due process. I mean, they didn't do anything wrong. It was their home. You know, I don't understand what happened, unless it was all bombed.
These places turned into Poland and Czechoslovakia. So that's what a lot of people don't realize, that Germany used to be a lot bigger than it appears now on the map. Much, much bigger. And also some of these areas, even if I'm not exactly sure the details, if some of those areas were German people who lived, like large communities of Germans lived in the lands that then turned into these other countries, right? So the borders were redrawn, and so their properties, for example, I was seeing something yesterday, I was visiting with somebody whose ancestors came from what is now Poland, and they were German. And they did go back at some point in recent years, and it was just bombed out ruins that were there. There was nothing there. It was just, there were fields and the old homestead, or the old, not homestead, because that sounds like they had just gone there. No, the ancestral homes of hundreds of years. And of course they built their homes with lots of, stones and bricks and stuff. So they would stay a long time. It's not just wooden houses, but there were just some foundations and some walls left, but it was just, that's it. They right. just, yeah. And a lot of these places would have just been taken over by, you know, the other folks, like either Jews or they right. told the Poles to, yeah, you go live there or whatever. Like, it just, they just got taken. It was stolen.
Right. I would say the same thing happened to the people in the South also.
Right? I agree.
When the war happened, I mean, when the South, they lost and the North came in and they just took over, you know, that's it. Thanks for your farm, you know, and they just take the farm.
You're right. In fact, that's one of Gene Andrews, the fellow I mentioned earlier. He's up there. God bless Gene. He's like me, wears a lot of hats. They were up there today. But Gene, he's a historian par excellence, especially in the Civil War. He taught history after he got out of the Marine Corps. But he said that in the South, he may or may not be right, but he probably is. He said the South, the first, what was known as total war, all-out total war, was practiced in by the Northern aggressors, so to speak, the Lincolns, the criminal Lincoln Army. And I'd like to add, our Northern brothers, thousands of them were put in jail, were persecuted because they did not want to go into that stinking war against their own brothers. But, you know, it was total war. Like General Sherman said, he wanted to make the war hell. He wanted to make the South scream. He wanted to make them squeal. And Gene Andrews is fond of saying that the same people, the very same satanic people that invaded the South, persecuted the South, raped white women in broad daylight, killed little boys, hung old men in broad daylight, they exported that war to Germany in World War I, and even they put it on steroids in World War II. The total war you hear about in Germany that was practiced by the Jewish-led Zionist globalist government, spearheaded by the United States military, came from the South. They just had sharpened their skills in the South, and they went over there to Germany. So that's who, all out total war in Germany. That's what Gene's fond of saying, y'all. You've probably heard him say that, Monica.
Yeah, I just muted myself here because I've got some noise in the background going on. We're kind of preparing for a gathering of the Truth and Justice for German Society, which is really great, but some cooking going on and mixing and whatnot. Don't know if that's interfering. About that. What's that?
Tell us. I was going to. You helped me because I wanted to ask you to mention that before we left the show. Tell the people. You say you got the Truth and Justice for German Society meeting there. Where you are?
I'm not gonna tell you where I am.
just tell us about what you're going to do. You don't have to say where you are. Just say.
We know you're near a train.
There's
lots of trains, but anyway, gonna have a gathering of the Truth and Justice for German Society folks and talk about all this good stuff that we're talking about now and just some strategies going forward. And I just want to remind people about that truthandjusticeforgermans.com. That's the website, and we've got lots of good information there and resources and articles and videos and whatnot. I hear the music.
Alrighty, people, y'all heard it. We're going to come right back after this break and go right back to Monica. I'm going to ask Monica something and Jim during the break. Be right back.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Well, people, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. I hope, I was telling Miss Monica, my little sister, Braveheart Monica, and my brother Jim, I feel like I've been off my game tonight. I hope I haven't hogged up too much of the time, because I normally do that. But anyway, I'm going to go right back to Mr. Jim and Miss Monica. Go ahead, Mr. Jim, you take it away.
Well, we were talking to you about that meeting. I'm not sure.
It's going to be. It's going to be the Knights. Hey, people! God forbid we'll go to a Klan meeting. It's going to be the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. They're going to have their annual Congress Labor Day weekend outside of Zinc, Arkansas. I'm invited to speak. I'm going to be broadcasting up there. We might be able to get James Edwards to broadcast for a couple of hours. There's going to be some big hitters up there, people that are too afraid to use their name. God, I wish I had to give my – God forbid, I can't believe I used my name. But there's going to be people there that you'd be shocked if you knew. You would never, ever dream they were coming to a Klan meeting. At the end of the meeting, on Sunday, the highlight of the event is we have what they call a cross lighting. And you don't have – you don't say cross burning to those people. You don't make that base. But it's very – and the reason I say this, another great lie, Monica and Jim, the greatest lies have ever been told, an unspoken truth is worse than a lie. The unspoken truth, my prototype unspoken truth, is you can't get what happened to the Liberty out. We can't get what's happened to the Palestinians, genocide perpetrated against the Palestinians by the Jews. You can't talk about the Holocaust, and you can't tell the truth about the Klan. And the Klan was a righteous Christian organization in the United States in the South, and to fight against that extermination campaign practiced during and after the Civil War. And I was inviting my people to come down, and I hope I hadn't put anybody on the spot. But anyway, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, thanks, Eddie. I'm so glad you brought that up about the Klan. I will never forget when I first started to learn some truth about that, too. And I'm telling you, that is such a big lie, too, about, you know, KKK being the most evil organization on the face of this earth, too. You know, most evil thing next to Adolf Hitler, etc. You know, the thing is, now I realize that when something has been made out to be so strongly depicted as, you know, being evil, then we have to take a second look, because they have turned everything upside down. And so, yeah, I listened to some podcast about the Klan and just learned some things about it. And they really did pull one over us on that. And at one time, it sounds like pretty much, you know, most upright, you know, good folks, good men were part of that organization. And so they really did lie to us about the KKK, you know, to this day. That, I mean, it was so deeply ingrained in me, and I wasn't alone. I didn't grow up in a vacuum, that was just evil, pure evil. So, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. And you know, you talked during our break there about the possibility of us attending, and I don't know if I can go across the border. Like, they've closed the borders, you know, to this current scam.
I don't think you can, Monica.
Yeah.
I know. I can't come up to Toronto or up to Canada. I know that. You know, so.
Or you're in Canada.
If I can't
now,
go up there,
Jim.
You can't come down here.
Oh, yeah. I gotcha. Well, you know, Paul Fromm used to be, and I know Monica, I found out about Miss Monica through my friend Paul Fromm. Paul Fromm used to be a regular there down in Harrison, Arkansas. Thomas Sunick was a regular down there. There's some other big-time lawyers I won't mention because, I mean, one of them is a multimillionaire, and he works for these big, humongous corporations. And they would break him in a heartbeat. But there's people there you would be shocked if you found out they were there. And no one has ever been outed. But the reason I brought that up is Jim mentioned, I think during, I can't remember, my memory such, we were talking about Total War, about the Total War being first introduced in the modern times in this during the Civil War against the Southern people. And I thought immediately about the Klan after the war, these newly freed blacks, armed blacks. They were armed by the Northern Army and turned against the disarmed Southerners, and they were raping women in broad daylight. Like I think I mentioned, they were hanging little boys, 10-year-old boys and 80-year-old men, hanging them, no repercussions. They had to do something. So they started the Ku Klux Klan, and they started their rides at night to terrorize these superstitious blacks. Some of them hadn't even been out of the jail. Some of them were even still practicing cannibalism just, you know, mere years, a few years earlier. And that's who they turned loose on the Southern people. They had to do something. And so the Klan was kind of like a modern, I guess, a secret Waffen SS force. Right. Back to you, Jim.
Let me ask you something about the Klan. I don't know much about the Klan, okay, because I live up here. So do they still wear the white robes and all that or what?
You know, I'll have to guess. I'm not a member, and the reason I didn't become a member because, and I'm not a member of a lot of organizations. I am a member of the League of the South, and we are very the League of the South. Believe it or not, is much more, a lot more militant than the Klan, and we were proud of being militant.
Yeah.
We're much more militant. We make them look like gentlemen. You know, because I don't want to be bogged down by some rules. I don't want to belong to an organization. I can't be me without upsetting the apple cart. You know, well, you shouldn't have said this, you shouldn't have said that, and be a representative of the Klan. But the two times I've been there, I've been to one cross lighting. They use their traditional white uniforms. It's kind of like their sacred, it's kind of like a sacred holiday. They only have a cross lighting once a year. It's a particular Klan meeting, and that's when they wear their uniforms. I'll tell you what, it's really moving. If people don't even like to be in the Klan, they should be there for educational purposes. They say they have ministers who recite prayers. They just recite Bible verses. It's a Christian organization there to protect Christian white people against the Luciferian forces that have been turned against us forever. And it's really, and the Luciferian forces are on steroids attacking us now, Miss Monica.
That's right. No, that's how I understood it too, is that when these blacks were freed and some of them were just doing all kinds of things and the official justice system was not taking care of these crimes, that the people had to take matters into their own hands. So I guess you could say it was organized vigilante justice. Would that be a fair way to describe it? But they were upright people, good, you know, Christian people who basically had to take matters into their own hands to do justice. And of course, the lies spread about all these lynchings and stuff like that. That's just bogus, right? I mean, there weren't actually that many people killed. That I don't know, that's my understanding of it. Eddie, you probably know way more than I do about it, but I just will remember that when that was another big lie that had to be turned over for me, that just like the Holocaust, I mean, I believed in the Holocaust all my life. That's why I reprimanded my parents about not doing anything to stop it from happening. That's what led to me making that video. 2016, and then that's what led to, you know, the, all the things that happened in my life after that. But because I apologized for that, but for having reprimanded my parents for not stopping those evils, you see. So, and they did that to so many of us that in our generation, they turned us kind of against our parents. I mean, I had a relatively good relationship with my parents, but still, then, you know, they were sort of like, they were part of that monster generation. And I'm telling you,
that was the whole object, Miss Monica. That's what they succeeded. Yes. To answer to your question, it's worse now. I have these statistics from the Bureau of Justice. This source here, the Bureau of Justice Statistics National Crime Victimization Survey. This is, came from 2018. In 2018, there were 59,778 white-on-black crimes. It's rounded off to 60,000 white-on-black.
Yeah.
Okay. And keep in mind that blacks are considered to be about 12% of the population. Okay, versus 60,000, there were 548,000 black-on-white crimes, so which makes it about 25 times greater. Okay, there were 207,000 white-on-Hispanic crimes. Okay, 365,299 Hispanic-on-white crimes. So that's, and it's worse now. And, you know, it's worse. It was horrible then. That's what we were facing. Like they said, some of these blacks had been practicing cannibalism just a few years prior. They were barely out of the jungle, barely out of Africa. Remember, they were cannibals. They were like almost subhuman. That's the facts. That's the facts, people. If you call me a racist, great. Thank you for noticing, to paraphrase what Miss Monica said. Thank you so much. But I know we're running out of time, so I don't want to hog up all the time. Go ahead, Mr. Jim, what do you think about all this stuff we've been talking about,
fella? Well, I just want to say, Monica, there's one case. It was called a Leo Frank case back in 1913, and he was hung by the people down, I think it was Georgia, because he raped a girl, a young girl, in his business, Mary Fagan, okay? And he went to trial, and he was found guilty by his own peers, even Jews on the jury. And he should have been put to death. And what happened was he wasn't put to death. He was given a life sentence, okay? And the people down there got so mad that they ran to the courthouse, I mean, the jailhouse, pulled him out, and they hung him. They killed him because they said, this is a horrible thing to let this man go free. He murdered a young girl. He should be killed. And the judge, you know, they were all, you know, the whole court system, even though he's found guilty, he should have been found, he should have been sentenced to death. And the Jews today use that now against the ADL. Actually, that's when the ADL started. They started after the Leo Frank case because
that's
of that
right.
case. Okay, yeah. So now, yeah. You know, I'm sure they refer you back to the, you know, to, well, he wasn't a black guy, but the point is, here's a guy being hung by the people down there because they got so mad at the system was just not doing the justice that it should have been doing. So this is what happens. See, things like,
you know,
this,
Jim,
happen.
Didn't Leo Frank, I think you said his name, but didn't he try to pin that on a
He tried to pin it on the black guy. Yeah. Yeah.
Correct.
The guy that worked
guy
for him.
Yeah.
That interesting guy, you know, and to this day, the ADL uses that as an anti-Semitic thing that happened. Imagine.
Well, you know what? We're rapidly approaching the end of the hour. Miss Monica, would you like to make a few more comments before we go out?
You know, you started out the show something about Father's Day tomorrow, and they tell us that there's all this toxic masculinity. Well, I say I love that masculinity.
How about you, Jim? Would you like to make a quick comment?
Well, no, but I'm happy to be on this show. Thank you for having me on. Talk again.
Well, thank you so very much, both of you people. I hope I'm more on my game next time. I think I bulldozed too much tonight, more than regular do. But thank you, Jim. Thank you, Miss Monica. Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Cameron. Thank you, all you Blood River Radio audiences who make this show possible. God bless you. Please keep us in your prayers. Pray specifically that I'll never get arrogant or prideful, because God hates a proud look. I'll see you next week, the 26th. God willing, the General Nick Lastovic himself will be here. Good night, everyone.